We're speaking now with Ryan Fisk, who lives in Lewiston, but is an organizer of a presentation of the art of the late Stephen Lyman that's coming up in about a week and a half. Ryan, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you.
And we're also speaking with Andrea Lyman, who is Stephen's widow and who now lives in Pullman. Andrea, thank you for being in on this call.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Well, to give some context here, Stephen Lyman was a nationally acclaimed artist who lived here in Sandpoint, and actually I considered him a significant part of the community in the 1990s. He had an untimely death in 1996 after apparently suffering a fall while hiking in Yosemite National Park. But at that time, he was already a nationally recognized artist, and he was a prodigious, I think you could say, producing fine art prints of the natural world. And those are what are going to be on display here on June 2nd and 3rd at the University of Idaho Organic Agriculture Center, which is out on North Boyer Avenue. There's going to be an art show, I think, of 60 of Stephen's published fine art prints. And Ryan, you're the organizer of this show, so let's talk first with you about, you know, how you even discovered Stephen's work and why it affected you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. My first introduction to Stephen's work was at the dinner table at my future in-law's house back in 1996, and the conversation, unfortunately, was Stephen Lyman, you know, passing away in Yosemite. And they showed me some of his artwork that they had in his house. And so that was my first introduction, 96. And then fast forward to around 2000, my wife, she really wanted Stephen Lyman's Thunderbolt print. And we were just getting started in our lives and really couldn't afford it. But we ended up buying one, but couldn't afford to frame it. And then you fast forward a few more years and, you know, we're having our family and doing a lot better. And my wife would shop for some of his prints online as his Firelight series. And then eventually, you know, we move on and our careers get, you know, going. And we were finally able to frame those Firelight prints that we had. And then eventually bought a cabin and put those in our cabin. And we affectionately called it our Stephen Lyman cabin. You know, this is back in 2008, and then pretty much just kind of, you know, nothing much after that for the next, probably like 10 years. And then in 2019, my wife decided to come home with a couple of his Christmas prints. When I saw those, it was so different from anything else I had seen of his, and they were so beautiful. I was really blown away by them. So what ended up happening after that was, I was driving home one spring day from a job up in the Moscow area, and I just thought to myself, gosh, it would be really, really cool to go somewhere and see all of his works at one place, just to see them and appreciate them. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, if anybody's going to do it, you know, nobody's going to execute your own idea. So I started to research it and realize what it would take, and I knew that it wouldn't work unless I had my wife on board. And so I kind of had to trick her into it. So I came home and I told my wife, I said, hey, there's going to be this show. It's, you know, Stephen Lyman's first 60 works of his limited edition lithographic prints. And do you want to go? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, great. We're the ones putting it on. And she's like, what? So I had to, you know, do some convincing of her, you know, to want to get on board with this. And so that's how the idea, you know, took root. And then over the next 2.5 years, it was acquiring the art and getting it framed and putting a show together.
And you've already had a show in Lewiston, is that correct?
Yeah, we had it at the Elks Lodge overlooking the Snake River. And it was nice because Andrea and her boys came, and we made it open for the school district to come and bus them and make it an educational opportunity. We did have a couple schools take us up on that. Andrea, you know, gave a presentation to those kids.
Did you know Andrea before you had this idea to do the art show?
No, not at all. In fact, I reached through to Stephen's sister, Shauna, and emailed her and said, you know, this is my idea, my vision, and she forwarded my information to Andrea, and then Andrea reached out to me.
Okay, well, Andrea, tell us a little bit more about Stephen's background. Now, correct me if I'm not getting this straight, but didn't you both grow up in Lewiston?
Actually, I didn't. Steve did.
Okay.
I grew up in the Palouse.
Okay.
In Colfax, Washington.
Okay. What's nearby?
Yeah, but I was teaching in Lewiston when we met.
So. Okay, okay. And so when did you meet?
We met in, I think it was January of 79, 80, I can't even remember. He had just graduated from Art Center College of Design in Pasadena. And his sister was in my choirs. And I knew his family from parent-teacher conferences and such. And one day, a colleague of mine said, hey, if you have fourth period free, come on in to my class, because Shauna Lyman's brother is going to show a slideshow. And I said, okay, because I actually had it free. So I went in there, and in the back of the room at the projector, his mom was, and I knew her. So I sat down, we were talking, and he came to the back of the room, and we shook hands. And I had just been cast as Huddle in the Lewiston Civic Theater's production of Fiddler on the Roof. And the guy who was playing opposite me, Perchik, he had just recently quit or something. So anyway, Steve and I shook hands, and he said, oh, I just got recast as Perchik in Fiddler on the Roof. And so anyway, that's how we kind of met and got to know each other through the course of being in that particular musical and in the next year and a half or so. But I met him in Lewiston while I was teaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, did Stephen know he had this amazing talent like from childhood, or how did he cultivate his painting skills?
Yes, actually. I mean, and his mother even still collected a lot of things. She passed not too long ago, but she collected stuff even from when he was 5 years old. They were probably better than I could ever even do in my adulthood. But yeah, his talent was pretty apparent early on, and his family was all artistic. He, in high school, he took art, of course, and he took all of the things, and he was very, very, he graduated as valedictorian of his high school class. And in those days, and this was, you know, 75, he graduated in 75, and this is when computers took up a whole room. And anyway, he was also interested in computer science and all that. And so a lot of people just assumed that he would go into that, but he really wanted to go into art. But his art teacher said, listen, I really think that you should go into art. And I really recommend that you consider going to Art Center College of Design in Pasadena. And so he applied for that and got accepted, but there was a waiting list. So he went one semester at the U of I, and then he got a full ride scholarship at Art Center in Pasadena under the condition that he do the entire 4-year program in 3 years. So he did. And so he lived in Pasadena, and he graduated there, valedictorian of his class there as well. And while he was there, he did some commercial illustration. He was trained as an illustrator, actually. So he did some illustration for magazines and some other things. And that's when he discovered and fell in love with Yosemite while he was in California there. But after a while, he just realized he was not a city boy, and that commercial art world was not for him, where you're having to just do what somebody else wants you to do, and there's a deadline, and he did okay in it, but that's not where his heart was. So when he came back to Lewiston, his family had been involved with the Civic Theater there for many years. And we always joke that that was the golden era of the sets for the Lewiston Civic Theater, when he did, you know, he painted the sets and designed them and all that, and was in them as well.
Oh, really?
So that's when he came back and how we met. And yeah.
Some Stephen Lyman set artwork. That probably would be something right there now.
It makes me wonder if they ever kept all those.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who knows?
So the work of his that really stood out the most for me were the firelight paintings.
Mm-hmm.
he painted a lot of different types of paintings of the natural world. But I always had this impression that was kind of what catapulted him into his national fame, were his paintings of campfires out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Do I have that right, or is
it was he? You know, he did a lot of landscapes and wildlife and that sort of thing. And when he did his very first campfire painting, he painted this. It was almost, you could say, like a portrait of a campfire. And before he did that, though, he said, you know, because he loved campfires, he said, I've never seen anybody paint a really good campfire. And so I think I will. Literally, he said that. And he did. And when he sent it off to the Greenwich Workshop, who were the publishers of his prints, they weren't quite sure what to do with it because they'd never, well, seen anything like that. You know, it was just this fire, campfire in this natural setting. And it wasn't really a landscape. It wasn't really a still life. It wasn't wildlife. And they didn't quite know what to do with it. So they thought, well, it's either going to be a bomb or it'll be wildly successful. So we're going to try and do a relatively low edition just to kind of see, test the waters. And it's exactly what you said, Chris. It just exploded and people said, whoa, I've never seen anything like this. And everybody has a warm memory usually of a campfire or something from their own experience. And so that's kind of what started the whole firelight series, whether it was campfires or embers or aurora borealis or candlelight, whatever it was. That's kind of what started that whole trajectory.
Yeah, I remember a candlelight picture from a windowsill through a cabin window, and it still had that quality of the light from the picture. Well, Ryan, let's come back to you. So how did you collect all, so there's going to be his 60 works that were published during his lifetime at the show that's coming here on June 2nd and 3rd, is that right?
That's right.
So how did you collect all those? How did you
get
those?
Oh boy, I had to scour the nation and Canada for it. Whatever I couldn't get from Andrea and their family at their LymanPrints.com website, I scoured the nation. I contacted, you know, all the art dealers that, you know, either online or whatever listings I could, and Greenwich Workshop, all the way down to individual ads that were posted online. And it took me probably a year to be able to find them all. And including the ones that are beyond this year's show, because the following year, after this one, the second year, will include 17 others that Andrea had published after his death. And I would say there a lot of them are more of the landscape that I particularly really enjoy that he did. So.
And so what's it take to put together an art show like this? A lot of moving parts, I imagine.
Yeah. So the first thing was acquiring the art, and then it is, okay, now we got to get it framed. And that was a really fun process, an expensive process, but it was really fun because framing itself can add to the art or subtract from it. And it was a really fun process of working with a designer and a framer and really working with all the colors that Stephen, you know, painted with. And then after you get them framed, it's okay, well, how are we going to display them? Because easels themselves can be very expensive. And so we decided that we were going to fabricate all of our own easels and figure out how to drape them. And then how do you present them? You know, how are you going to display the titles in front of each artwork? How much information are you going to put out there that way people are going to read? Display information boards, and then securing a venue, advertising for the venue. And I want to thank you, Chris, for, you know, doing this interview with us and helping get the word out. And then trying to, you know, promote it and get people to come. And the great thing about the University of Idaho in donating their facility is that we're able to make this free of charge for the public to come. So, you know, really it is about people coming and rediscovering Stephen Lyman's artwork and enjoying it. So.
And I'll throw out that date again. It's June 2nd and 3rd. That's Friday and Saturday. That's a week and a half off as this airs. And it's at the University of Idaho Organic Agriculture Center at 10881 North Boyer Avenue. It's out North Boyer for folks that haven't been there. The facility itself is really cool. I don't know if you've had a chance to visit the facility yet, Ryan.
Yeah, we went up and we toured it to make sure that it would work for us. And the hours on Friday and Saturday will be from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yep. And so people can just come by anytime in that range.
Just
right?
Come on in and, you know, we're accepting donations to offset the cost of bringing it up there. And there will be artwork for sale. There'll be sheets there. If you're interested in any of the art that you like framed, you can come and inquire with me. And we'll be wearing lanyards to identify ourselves. So if somebody's interested in a particular piece, come see me, and we'll be taking orders. And what we'll be doing is we'll be coming up the following week and setting a time to deliver those orders.
Okay. Andrea, so you told us a little bit about early life with Stephen, how you met, but how did you ultimately wind up in Sandpoint?
Well, we were living in Oregon. Our boys were born there, and I was teaching there. And after they were born, we decided we wanted to, just kind of choose our perfect place. And so for about a year or so, we traveled around and we explored places in Washington, Idaho, Montana, Oregon, California. And we just had certain parameters that we were looking for. And just one time, we were visiting Sandpoint because Steve's parents still lived in Lewiston, and we were visiting Sandpoint, and we were just going to drive around and pick huckleberries and just look around. And we just happened to stop by the Chamber of Commerce office, and we just happened to see these real estate ads and things, and we thought, whoa, this is so much less expensive than what we've been looking at in other places. And they all seemed to meet our parameters. So Steve's dad, who had been a realtor at one point, he offered to, so we went back to Oregon, and he offered to, with our criteria, he offered to kind of look for things and even come and visit and do videotapes, little tours of certain properties and that sort of thing, because we wanted to buy land, we thought, and build a house. And so anyway, he did that. And we ended up, that's kind of how we ended up finding where we moved first. But we knew that we really liked the area. It was so beautiful, lots of nature. It was very artsy community. And it just had the vibe we were looking for. And it was perfect in every way. And it turned out to be exactly that for us. It really nurtured us while we were there. It was lovely.
Mm-hmm. And you ended up building a really beautiful home here.
Yeah, first we lived out on Upper Gold Creek Road, and we remodeled this funky little cabin on Rapid Lightning Creek, and that was wonderful. And my boys grew up there in that house on that creek in that forest, and they still have fond memories of it. And then we wanted to create like our dream home. So we bought some property south of town in Sagal, in the Sagal area, and built a very large home off-grid. We had a gravity-fed water system. We had all solar and off-grid power and big gardens. And, yeah, it was a lovely, lovely place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we designed and had made, fabricated almost everything in the house as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually visited out there at one point. And I knew Stephen a little bit back in 19. Mm-hmm. fact, for my day job, Sandpoint Magazine, I interviewed him only a few weeks actually before his death. And it was pretty kind of made for a pretty sad interview to run that in the magazine afterwards. But I kind of the thing that struck me was, hey, it'd be great to get to know Stephen better. But it was not to come to pass, unfortunately. Well, we're just about out of time. I think, Ryan, can you run again through the who, what, when, where of your show, art show?
Yeah, it'll be June 2nd, June 3rd at the University of Idaho Organic Agricultural Center. from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. And also, is it okay if I give a special thanks to a few people?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to thank Heather Upton. She is the City of Sandpoint Art and Historic Preservation Officer. Carol Diener and Claire Christie with the Ponderay Arts Council. They were really helpful in helping me find a venue and securing the University of Idaho Center for us to be able to do the show.
Okay, well, shout out to them. And Andrea, do you have a final word that you'd like to put in? I guess I should ask, will you be able to get up for the show?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And also my boys, well, I call them my boys because they'll always be my boys, but they're now 36 and 37. They're going to be coming up, and we're going to spend a day or two in Sandpoint visiting friends and things before the show, but we'll be there for the show. We probably won't be there every hour of both days, but we would love to be there a majority of the time. It's just really fun for us to reminisce about the paintings, about Steve, about living there. And I'm hoping there will be lots of familiar friends and family that we'll see there. So we'll get to visit with them. But I also just wanted to thank you again, Chris, for doing this to help promote this show. I think it's really important. Steve would have really loved the idea of having the beauty of nature continue to live in people's lives and be inspired by it, to get out in it and love it and preserve it. So I'm glad that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, he really was an exceptional artist. The folks that haven't seen his artwork, you could probably see pictures on the internet, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing them up close and personal will really, really be cool. Well, Landria Lyman and Ryan Fisk, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Thanks,
thank you. It was a pleasure.